So last week, on Easter Sunday, I talked about the day when the Lord Jesus will come back. On this day, I remind you, God will make every wrong right. That's comforting because we're surrounded by a lot of wrong, aren't we? Well, that won't last forever. He will make every wrong right. All evil will be accountable. And every knee, I love this, every knee, that includes the devil and his demons, every knee will bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ and confess once and for all, finally, that he is Lord. And it says, to the glory of God the Father. God is pleased with that. God will rejoice. Finally, the day came when every knee will bow down before my Son, thanking him, acknowledging him, many and others in awe and in disbelief that God was right, and that the day came when his prophecy was fulfilled, that every knee will bow down, and they will regret it, and they will end up where no one wants to go, because they didn't acknowledge, they didn't recognize the time of Jesus' coming. They rejected him, ignored him, and put him in the back burner at best. But the Bible says that God is delaying that time as much as possible. In Peter, we read about that. I'll let you find it. He's delaying as much as possible that time. Why? Because those who do not know him will have another opportunity again and again to come to the knowledge of the salvation, the knowledge of salvation of Jesus Christ. So God is delaying this as much as possible so they have time. Your friends, this is not just out there. Your friends that do not know Jesus, your relatives that do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, God is waiting for them. That's why this day is being delayed and postponed. And God is also giving us time to perfect our obedience. So don't worry. Our time is not being wasted just waiting and waiting and waiting for those who are not saved to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God is doing a work in us, because if we're going to be with him in heaven, he wants us to look as much as possible like Jesus. He wants the work that was begun when we came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be as advanced as it can be. And that depends in part on us. For the Bible says that we are co-workers with Christ. He works, we submit. He calls, we respond. He does the work, we let him do it. We submit. We are, I've said it many times, like the clay in the hands of an amazing artist, amazing potter. Clay in the hands of the potter. So God is giving us, the people of God, time to be perfected, not so that we can be saved, but because we are already saved, to be perfected in Jesus Christ. So while that happens, again, we're not just waiting passively for the time, counting the hours, when is he going to come? No, there is work that is being done in us. So while the time comes, God has given us some rules for living until he comes and becomes finally the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He already is, but has not quite come to pass in our time. So while that time happens, God has given us some rules for living that we ought to take seriously. These rules that Bob read in this passage of Romans 13, the entire chapter, they're not just there for us to go, oh, okay. No, they're not just information. They are information that will bring us transformation if we take it to heart, if we take it seriously. Remember what James said, we are called to be not just hearers of the word, but what? doers of the word of God. Why? Well, because we all claim to love God. But the Bible says clearly, see, the Bible calls us to accountability for everything we confess, everything we say. The Bible says that if we love God, we must also obey him. We can't just say, well, I will obey this part of what God says because it's easier for me, but this one is a little too difficult. So I'm just, you know, that's the way I am, or I don't like to tithe. I don't think that's really reality, or I don't think this is so bad if I don't do too much of it. Whatever the thing may be that we're trying to compromise, no. The Bible says that if we claim to love him, then we must obey him. At least try and not just justify our disobedience. We ought to take these guidelines seriously. We ought to take them to heart. That's what the Bible says. So let's take a quick look at the rules of living that God gives us in this passage, okay? I'll try to do it quickly, but I want to go deep. Verses 1 and 2. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Do you hear that? Even the presidents or the mayors that you didn't like or you don't like, well, guess what? God put them there. You may say, well, there was a mistake or there was a whatever, you know, that it was rigged. No, that's not what God says. He put them there. Even if it was rigged, God allowed that to happen for a purpose. And then it goes on to say the authorities that exist have been established by God. It's like, did you hear that? First it says, there is no authority except that which God has established. And then it repeats it. The authorities that exist have been established by God, in case you didn't hear it the first time. And then it says, therefore, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And what does it say next? Pay attention to that. And those who do so will what? Bring judgment on themselves. Be careful the way you speak about your president. Be careful the way you speak about your president that you like or don't like. You may disagree, but you're called to honor and respect and submit to the authorities. You can't just think you can get away with speaking bad things. That's slander, even if it's about your president, even if he doesn't hear it, even if you don't like him, even if what he's doing is wrong. God says he established that authority, and you ought to respect that, and so do I. He knows what he's doing. Don't worry. They're doing evil. God will call them to accountability. Like someone said to me the other day, well, you know, I just don't think we're called to tithe, and then I don't like the way my church sometimes uses the tithes. And I said, that's none of your business. That's God's business. How the tithes are being used, that's God's money. It's not your money that you gave. That's money God gave you. You're honoring God by giving back to God. Whether they use it or misuse it, that's not your responsibility, and it's not your call to make the call whether they're doing good or bad. That's God's responsibility. That's God's accountability that he will bring on those people. Your job is to give, and I don't give to the church. My tithes, I give them to God through the church. And that's the right attitude to have. So, God tells us, when we rebel against the authorities in any way, shape, or form, we may bring judgment, we will bring judgment on ourselves. We don't want that, do we? Therefore, we need to respect, honor, and obey the authorities, even if they don't deserve it. For God's sake, we do it. What about verses 6 and 7? This is also why you pay taxes. It's getting a little personal here, huh? I don't like the way my taxes are used at times, at all. The taxes that I give with great sacrifice, I would be really rich if I wouldn't have to pay taxes. I don't like the way they're used. But listen to this. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Pay your taxes. I don't like the way they're used. You may not like the way they're being used, but that's none of your business. You ought to give what is owed to the government, what is owed. Remember, Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. That's the way, that's God's way. So, verses 8 and 10 continues and says, let no debt remain outstanding. And you think it's only talking about money, which debt is bad. It's bad to incur into debt. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Did you hear that? When we don't love the other person, we owe them something. It's a debt. Why? Because we're called to love one another. You don't want to be in debt because debt carries a curse in itself. So it says, let no debt remain except the continuing debt to love one another. Did you notice it doesn't say love the lovable? We're in trouble, huh? Love, love. It doesn't say love the lovable. You don't have to love the unlovable. You get it passed. That's not what it says. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. I don't know if you knew this, but if there are people that you don't love, you're in debt. You need to pay that debt. We're not called to live in debt. It goes on to say, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. What? How do we get this, not being in debt, to if we do this to love one another, we will fulfill the law? That's quite a jump, isn't it? Well, that's what God is telling us. And we know from the Gospels also that Jesus said that the entire law is fulfilled in two commandments, to love the Lord our God with all our mind, strength, and soul, and to love our neighbor the way we love ourselves. So it talks about the commandments, but it to fulfill the commandments, and it talks about loving one another. It says, whatever other commandments, goes on to say, there may be are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, it goes on to explain, if you don't know what love is, here goes. Love does not harm, does not do harm to our neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Listen up. People make it really complicated. How do we grow in holiness? What do we do? How do we grow into the image of Jesus Christ? How do we perfect this thing? How do we cooperate with God in this amazing call to be sifted, to be purified, to be shaped into the image of Christ? It's really, you don't need eschatology, pneumatology, spirit Christology. You don't need any of these. This is it. Love one another. Thanks be to God that the gospel is simple. You don't need a high IQ. You just need this, to know this, that the entire law is summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself, and that love does not harm. In case you don't know what love is, it does not harm. It speaks the truth, sure, but it does not harm, does not do harm. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. All this is wisdom that we are to take to heart. At the end of this passage, we find this warning. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour, verses 11 through 13. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. Night? Yeah, the day is coming. Remember the day that last week we talked about, the day of the Lord? That's the day, capital D. So it says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So, comma, let us put aside the deeds of darkness that are performed in the night. And it's not just night as in when it's dark, but it's the night, the darkness that we're living now. Darkness with no truth, no light. It says, see, it's telling us there's a light coming. The little sparkles of light. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of what? I love this, of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. And then it tells us what is not good for us. Drunkenness, sexual immorality, dissension, jealousy. You can add to that coveting, you know, bad language. The Bible tells us not to engage in, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Don't use the name of God in vain. It goes on and on and on. So it says, put on the armor of light. Why do we need an armor? Because everything in the world is fighting for us to not live in the light, not follow the wisdom of God. And that's why we need to come to church. That's why we need to read the Bible. That's why we need Bible study and remind one another in prayer that we are called to listen to the rules for living that God has in place. If we would know when the Lord Jesus is coming back, we would probably make sure that he finds us living the way we're supposed to be living, right? If you know that the Lord is coming, let's say God sends us an angel that only Christians can hear, and he announces the Lord Jesus Christ is coming at the end of April of this year. Oh, goodness, you'd get everything in order. I know you would. You do everything, okay, you'd probably start giving your money away. You probably start volunteering more. You probably would make sure that he finds you doing in every area where you're supposed to be doing. I would probably clean my house extra. You know, everything, it's just our mindset would be, oh, okay, end of April. This is how much time I have. Well, last week I reminded you of what Jesus said, that he will come like a thief in the night. And remember, I hope you remember, I ask you, what do we do at night? We sleep. And in this passage, the Lord once again is telling us, verse 11, to wake up from our slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. And verse 12, we also read this, the night is nearly over and the day is almost here. Therefore, let us put aside, as I said earlier, the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light and behave decently as in the daytime. We know the Lord is coming. We don't know when, but he wants to find us doing the best that we can to live within the rules for living that God has in place. God wants us to find us doing that. So, let me end with this. Instead of following the desires of the flesh, which glorifies Satan, do you know that every time you respond to someone harshly, every time that you speak evil of someone in front or behind their back, every time that you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, you know who that glorifies? Satan. You don't want to do that. We want to glorify God. And this passage tells us how to do that, what to focus on so that we can be doing that. Did you notice that? In verse 14, rather, meaning all this that I told you, don't do it. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. It doesn't condemn us for having those desires. We will have bad desires until we have our new body. But it says, don't gratify those desires. The Bible calls it, Paul calls that in another letter, put the self to death. Don't feed it. Let it die. Starve it to death because you don't give in to those fleshly desires. Rather, clothe yourself. Listen to this. It doesn't say, rather, work the good that you know, although we are called. I'm saying we are called to do that, but how? When we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? You cannot do it on our own. You cannot do it on your own. I cannot do it on my own. We cannot do that on our own. We do it when we say, God, I can't, but I want to. Will you give me the strength, the wisdom, the power of Jesus? I can't love so-and-so. That person is too rude. I can't love so-and-so. That person is too obnoxious. But would you give me the Lord Jesus? Would you give me the eyes that Jesus has to see that person? Will you clothe me with Jesus? That's what the passage is saying. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way to walk in victory, people. This is the way to walk in victory through each and every challenge we face. This is what will ensure that all things work out for your good. My friends, these things have been written so that we take them to heart. These things have been written so we adjust our entire lives around the wisdom, the purposes, and the guidelines for living God lays out for us in His Word. These things have been written so that we don't sleep, so that we are not found sleeping when the Lord comes, but we are found awake and doing, living the way that we are supposed to be living. My friends, these things have been written so that we take them to heart. So let us ask God to help us to be awake and not sleeping when He comes, which may be at the end of April, at the end of the year, or at the end of 1 year or 2 years, but it's not far. It's not far. This evil cannot continue like this. It cannot. It's almost there. It's almost there. So let us pray that we are found faithful on that day and not embarrassed because we ignored His calling. Let us pray. Father, You are light. You are love. You are kindness. You are wisdom and power. All that is given to us in Jesus Christ. So we ask, Father, that You will teach us how to walk clothed with Jesus, how to do away and not gratify the desires of our flesh, how to fulfill the law by loving God and loving one another. All these things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our perfect Lord and Savior. Amen.